Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The chapter we're about to do is chapter relating to mud. So, the mud, elongation. Huruf al-mud, letters are Alif, Waw, and Ya. We did it in the previous chapters about huruf al-mud, that these huruf al-mud are when they are in the sakin state, meaning alif will be a sakin and which has a fatha before it, waw will be a sakin which has a dhamma before it, and ya which will be sakin and have a kasr before it. So in that situation and in that scenario, these three letters will then be called huruf al-mad. And when they are in that situation, they will be called maddul asli. The reason why it's called Maddul Asli is because these letters, for it to be pronounced, it will have to be lengthened. It will have to be lengthened. And that is part of the characteristic of these letters. It is the nature of these letters that they are lengthened. If they are not lengthened, then these letters will not be pronounced. So that is why they are called Maddul Asli, meaning the original. Meaning it is part of its of the creation of these letters, that the letter can only be pronounced when they are lengthened. So that's why it is called Maddul Asli. Now, when other things happen after it, or when things are attached to it or come after it, then the nature of that mud, or should I say the length of that mud, can increase according to what comes after it. So really, in tajweed, one goes over the rules that are related to the mud, meaning when something comes after it and how long it should be stretched. But they here touched upon maddul asli just to basically as a muqaddama, as a precedent before the actual chapter that we are going to start. So maddul asli, the original elongation of two haraka, qasr, shortness. Now there are three types of mud. You have qasr, tawassut, and tul. Qasr meaning shortness. So that is the original length of every single huruf al-mud. Every single huruf al-mud, the length of that is qasr. That is the minimum. If anybody shortens that, beyond, short, even makes it even less in terms of prolonging it, then that will negate the letter, hence the letter will not be pronounced and that will be haram. So for maddul asli, it has to be, lengthened a little. And how much? It said that at least minimum two haraka. Mean two haraka, or the opening of one finger or closing one finger. That's how much one should lengthen maddul asli. If a person decreases that length, then he has not pronounced huruf al-mad, hence he has omitted a letter which is haram. So maddul asli, which is the length of that, is qasr, and that is part of its characteristics, hence one cannot mess around or one cannot even shorten that. So alif is one of the letters of mad which is preceded by fatha. Waw is one of the letters. Remember, these are all in a state of sakin, although they haven't mentioned it, but it is all in a state of sakin. Waw is one of the letters of mad when it's preceded by a dhamma. Ya is one of the letters of mad when it is preceded by kasra. And as you can see with the following examples, that they are all in the state of qasra. So qala innahu yaqulu innaha qala. So qala, as you can see, that there's an alif after the qaf, and that alif is in the state of sakin. And then you have innaha at the end, that after the ha there's an alif there, and that alif is in the state of sakin. So if you can all repeat after me, قال إنه يقول إنها
قال إنه يقول إنها.
The next example is of waw madda الذين كفروا. As you can see, after the ra there is a waw which is sakin, and before it there is a dhamma, then that waw will be known as waw madda. Again, you have yaqu, there is a waw there which is waw sakin which has a dhamma before it. Then you got lu, there is a waw sakin which has a dhamma before it. So all these three are known as waw madda.
الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله
الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله.
The next example is ya madda. As you can see, after the ra there is a ya sakin, and before the ya sakin the ra has a kasra, hence that ya is ya madda. And then again after the ha in the last word you see a ya sakin, and the ha itself has a kasra, hence the ya will be known as ya madda.
Walil kafirin adhabun muhin.
Walil kafirin adhabun muhin.
Right. Before we go into the mad muttasil and mad munfasil, there's a few things that you should know. That Madd al-Asli is the original one, which means that it is the actual mud which is present in those letters, and it is part of the nature of that of those letters. Now, due to letters, or due to the letters that come after it and the state of those letters, that original length of stretching, the stretching of the letters can be increased. Now that increasing can happen in four situations. So that these four particular situations of those huruf al-mad are called mad al-far'i. So you have madd asli and you have madd far'i. Madd asli is what we just did, the original mad of those letters. But if something comes after it, like hamza comes after it, or sukoon comes after those huruf al-mad, then madd far'i will happen. Madd far'i is a term where something that comes out from the original. Like you have a tree trunk, then you have branches coming out. You don't get branches without having the tree trunk, right? The tree trunk is the original, and then you have branches coming out. So because these four mud that are happening afterwards are branches of the original mud, so when after certain things like hamza coming after the huruf al mud, then these original mud, which you tend to lengthen by two harakas, can be increased up to six harakas. So these mads are called madd far'i. Now there are four types of madd far'i according to according to the situation where the huruf mad is and where the hamza is. So you have four types. One is madd muttasil, which we're about to do. Then you got one madd munfasil, again which is we're going to do. And then you have madd lazim, and then you have madd arif. So there are four types. I'm going to explain to all at one go, and then we're going to do it as we go along. So you got four types of mud, four types of mud farari. So you have mud muttasil. Second, mud munfasil. Third, mud lazim. And fourth, mud arid. Okay? What is mud muttasil? Mud muttasil, ittisal. Ittisal, closeness, togetherness. And here, it technically means where after huruf mad, we all know what huruf mad is, yes? Alif and waw, ya, sakin, when it has whichever haraka has before it, for it to become huruf mad. If after that, there is a hamza. in the same word, in the same word, then that mad will be called mad muttasil. That will be called mad muttasil. If the hamza, which comes after it, is not in the same word, but comes in the beginning of the following word, then that would be called مد منفصل. مد منفصل, انفصال means to be separate. انفصال means to be separate. So this مد منفصل is called مد منفصل because the Hamza doesn't belong to the word where the حروف مد, to the word which حروف مد belongs to. That Hamza belongs to the following word. So it is not joint, it is separate. That is why this mad is called mad munfasil. And then you have mad lazim. Mad lazim means compulsory mad. That happens when you have a sukoon, when you have a sukoon or a tashdeed, either in the same word or in the same letter. Okay, I'll explain that afterwards. Let's go to the first two. مَدِّ مُتَّسِلْ مَدِّ مُنْفَسِلْ. So if you open up to page 17, مَدِّ مُتَّسِلْ, the joined mud, they call it the joined mud. Like I said, is مُتَّسِلْ means, اتصال means to be together. Now because the Hamza is part of the same word which حروف mud belongs to, that is why this mud is called مد متصل. When a حروف mud letter, alif waw ya, obviously in that state, is followed by a hamza in the same word, the mud is known as مد متصل. The length of recitation of مد متصل will be طول, 4 to 6 haraka long, 4 to 6 duration. Now, if you can see the example in the first one with Alif Madda, إذا جاء نصر الله, if you can see the جاء, you have Alif Madda and then you have Hamza. Hamza belongs to the word جاء. Hamza belongs to the word جاء. So because Hamza is in the same word which حروف المد belongs to, then this mud will be called مد متصل. Now to make the matter very easy, you will see that the shape of the mud of مد متصل is distinctive. It is different from the shape of the mud of which is مد منفصل. So straight away, without even looking of the nature of the word, you can tell that this mud is مد متصل. That this mud is مد متصل. So if you look at that shape of that mud, and you look at the shape of the مد منفصل at the end of the page, it's a little curly. مد منفصل shape is a little curly, and that one is slightly different. It's like a kind of a bow or whatever. Now they say the مد متصل will be طول, i.e. 4 to 6 haraka. You can read it طول or you can read it توسط. Although they mention here tool, you can read it tool and tawassut. Tawassut is 2 to 3 harakat, and tool is 3 to 5 harakat. So you got three types of mud: tool, which is the longest; tawassut means middle; and qasr means the shortest. Right? Qasr is not permissible in mad muttasil. That is why this mud is also known as mud wajib. This mud is also known as mud wajib because according to all the qurras, according to all the qaris, one is not allowed to show on this mud. That's why it's called mud wajib. All the 10 qurras, all the sabakirat we have, all that, every single one, qalun, hafs, warsh, all of them, they all say you have to lengthen it. Once Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was teaching somebody, and that person then recited a verse in which he did not lengthen this, and he said, this is not the way Prophet taught us, He taught us to recite this way, you know, longer. Hence, that is a proof that whenever the situation like this comes, it has to be lengthened. So that is why the name of this mad is also called madde wajib. Wajib means compulsory. We say in Urdu, don't we? Ye wajib hai, karna hai. You know, you have to do it. So wajib means compulsory. So another term for this is madde wajib. So you can't do qasr. You can't do qasr. Remember the three types of mad, the three types of length. Sorry, should I say? Tul, which is the longest. Tawassut is the medium. And qasr is the shortest. In this one, you can do the medium and the longest, but you can't do qasr. You can't do qasr. So tul is between 3 to 5 harakats, although they said 4 to 6. And tawassut is between 2 to 4 harakats, or 2 to 3 harakats. And qasr is 1. Qasr is? So example of the first one of Alif Madda.
إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ
إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ
سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ
سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ
سُوءٌ example of Waw Madda.
سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ سُوءُ الدَّارُ
Example of Yamada.
هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ
وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ
There's another thing you have to bear in mind, that although you have different options in terms of length, you can do tawassul or tul, like I mentioned, whichever option you pick, you maintain that throughout your whole recitation. It's not like in one place you do tul and the second one you do tawassul, then you decide to go back to tul again. It's like hip hop. No. You carry on at one length. At one length. So if you decide to tawassul, meaning to 3 to 4 harakas, then you do 3 to 4 harakas all the way. You don't like then one place you do 3 and the next you decide you had a bigger breath so you did a really long one. No. You've got to maintain whichever one you choose. The second one I was explaining was madde munfasil. Here I said detached, but the way I explain is that it is not part of the original letter, original word which huruf mad belongs to. It is separate, detached from it. If a word ends in one of the huruf mad letters and the following word begins with a hamza, then that mad is known as mad munfasil. The length of recitation of mad munfasil will be tawassut intermediate, i.e. 3 to 5 harakat. Again, this one also, you can do tawassut and you can do tul. Although it's mentioned tawassut, but you can do both. This mad is called mad ja'iz. This mad is called mad ja'iz. Because Jaiz means permissible, right? What does that mean? Is that it is not compulsory according to some of the qurras. Some of the qurras, they don't lengthen here. They just do qasr. What they do? Qasr, which means the shortest one. Okay? So that is why another name for this is Jaiz. But again, here also, whichever one you choose, you maintain all the way. You don't just chop and change whenever you feel like. First example.
Inna a'tainak.
Inna
For example, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ
وَاعْلَمُوا
أَنَّ اللَّهَ example we are وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَوْ عَلَى أَنفُسِكُمْ Let me just explain one of the examples. So if we take the first example, inna a'tainaka, inna, which means we have, that is one word. A'tainaka is another word. A'tainaka, it means we have given you. Surely we have given you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. So that one, that surely inna a'ta, inna is one word. أعطينا is another word. Now, inna, the alif madda belongs to inna, and أعطي, the hamza belongs to أعطي. أعطى يعطي means to give. So, that belongs to that word. So, as you can see, it's not belonging to one word. The hamza and the huruf al-mad is not in one word. If we take example of the waw, قو أنفسكم, save yourselves. قو means to save yourself, right? Anfusakum, ku means to save. Anfusakum means yourselves. So anfusakum, if you see the hamza on the anfusakum, that belongs to anfus, and ku, the waw madda, belongs to the word ku. The example of, again, the ya, wafi anfusakum, and within yourselves. Wafi means in. Anfusakum, yourselves. So fi is one word, anfusakum is another word. So these are the two ones. Then, so the third one is Madd al-Lazim. I explained at the right at the beginning that Alif, if it has any haraka on it, then it is pronounced like a Hamza. In reality, it's a Hamza, although it's written in the shape of a Alif. So it is not Alif as we know as Alif Madda, but it is Alif which is just in a written form, but pronounced exactly the same as Hamza. That's why they normally call it Hamza, because in reality it is Hamza. Alif will always be Sakin. That is why, because the nature of Alif being Sakin, you don't need to put Sakin, a Sukun on it. So if you look at example of Inna Anzalna, give example, Idha Ja'a Nasrullah. If you see the Alif after the Dal, there's an Alif there. Does it have anything on it? No. Why? Because Alif automatically is known to be in a state of Sakin. So you don't need to indicate to anything. You don't need to have anything, any indication. Remember, at the beginning, when the Quran was collected and everything, there was no Haraka. There was no all these signs. It was after Hajjaj bin Yusuf. It was after when he saw that people from far and wide was entering into the fold of Islam, and they were finding it difficult to read inside the Quran. To make it easy, he got someone to, he gave them the job of putting the harakas in. Otherwise, even when you learn Arabic language, you learn the Arabic language, you learn it without having any fatha qasra. You can just pick it up, like you pick an Arabic newspaper, you will see there's no fatha qasra on it. How do I read Ida or Ja? No, you know straight away because you learned the language. You learn the language, you know where to put fatha, you know where to put the qasra, you know where to put the dhamma, and you know how to read this, you know how to read that. It was this for people who don't know Arabic. That's why, even though our children, we, majority of us, don't understand Arabic, but we can read, we can recite it because we know because of the haraka. Because of the haraka, because of the fatha, kasra is there. So do we read adha or do we read idha? Do we read udha? The fatha, kasra, dhamma tells us we have to read not adha or udha, we read idha. But if a person who studied Arabic, you take away all the harakas away, they'll be able to read it. They know idha only comes in the form of idha. Right? And ana, it comes in this shape. And you got ku comes in that form. So they don't need to put any harakas. So when you learn the Arabic, inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq, then you should be able to read the Arabic language without having all these helps of fatha, kasra, and dhamma and all that. You just read it. You pick up an Arabic newspaper and you should be able to read it. Oh, long call, but who knows? Inshallah, maybe possible. So then, the third one is Madd al-Lazim. Madd al-Lazim is segregated or made into four types. It's divided into four types. Madd al-Lazim is divided into four types. What does that mean? Means if the sukoon which comes after huruf al-mad. After huruf al-mad, two things can happen. Either sukoon can come or tashdeed can come. Do we all know what tashdeed is? Put your hands if you know what tashdeed is.
Yeah, shadda.
Everyone knows it. If after huruf al-mad, a sukoon or a tashdeed comes, okay? If the sukoon comes and it comes in that same word, then that is called kilmi mukhaffaf. What is it called? Kilmi mukhaffaf. This is how you write it. So let me explain again. If after huruf al-mad, okay? Let me rephrase it. After huruf al-mad, either sukoon or tashdeed can come. After huruf al-mad, either sukoon or tashdeed can come. If sukoon comes, and it comes in the same word that the huruf al-mad is, then it will be called kilmi mukhaffaf. But if after huruf al-mad, tashdeed comes in the same word, it will be kilmi muthaqqal. Kilmi muthaqqal. So you go kilmi mukhaffaf, kilmi muthaqqal. So the definition of kilmi mukhaffaf and muthaqqal is if after huruf al-mad, if sukoon comes in the same word, then it will be kilmi mukhaffaf. Otherwise, if tashdeed comes, it will be called kilmi muthaqqal. Example of, I don't know if everyone can see it upstairs. So we have kilmi mukhaffaf, kilmi muthaqqal. Did we understand what we said? If after huruf al-mad, if sukoon comes in the same word, then it will be called kilmi mukhaffaf. If after huruf al-mad, tasdeed comes in the same word, then it will be called kilmi muthaqqal. Examples of both. Al-ana. This one is? Al-ana. Now, as you can see, after alif madda, al that lam has a sukoon. That lam has a
sukoon.
This is one word. This is one word. After huruf al-mad, if a sukoon comes in that same word, it will be called kilmi mukhaffaf. Kilmi
mukhaffaf.
If after huruf al-mad, if a tashdeed comes in the same word, it will be called kilmi muthaqqal. Mukhaffaf means light. Muthaqqal means heavy. Sukoon is light. Tashdeed is heavy. So, as you can see, dabbatin. Dabba means animal, any living creature. So, as you can see, after huruf al-mad, the tashdeed, there is a tashdeed in the same word. So that will be called kilmi muthaqqal. So that's the two types of madl. The other two types, which is explaining here, if now this was kalma. Kalma means, what does kalma mean?
Word.
Word, right? This was word. Now if it's a harf, qaf, sad, is it, you get in the Quran, isn't it? Sad wal Quran al dhikr, qaf wal Quran al majid, noon. These are all what? What are they?
Letters.
If after, if there's a sukoon in the letter, then that is called harfi mukhaffaf. What is it called? If in the letter there is a tashdeed, then that will be called harfi muthaqqal. Example of tashdeed. Alif lam. You see Alif Lam Mim, you see Tashdeed on the Mim? That's an example of Harfi Muthaqqal. Example of Harfi Mukhaffaf. Noon. Is it Tashdeed there? There's no Tashdeed, is it? You see, look at Noon, there's right in front of you, Qaf. No Tashdeed there. So that's an example of Harfi Mukhaffaf. So there are four types of Madd Lazim. Four types of Madd Lazim. What's the first two? You wrote it down.
Kilmi Mukhaffaf.
And?
Kilmi Muthaqqal.
Very good. Kilmi Mukhaffaf, Kilmi Muthaqqal. The other two, please. Harfi?
Harfi Mukhaffaf and Harfi.
Harfi Mukhaffaf?
And Harfi Muthaqqal.
Harfi Muthaqqal. Are we clear? Hope so. It is imperative to pronounce the Huruf Muqatta'at. Huruf Muqatta'at. What are those? Is those letters which you pronounce with mud. Muqatta'at means letters which are pronounced separately. Letters which are pronounced
separately.
That's why they call huruf muqatta'at, because you pronounce it separately. Ha mim, ta ha, qaf, noon, alif lam mim. You're pronouncing it separately, each one. Yeah? So if I say, you can repeat after me. Kaf ha ya ayn sad.
Kaf ha ya ayn sad.
Again. With Ayn and Saad and Ayn, Sin and Qaf, Ikhfa is being implemented as well. Okay? So you must take care. The reason why is, if I was to break this up, so So for example, Ayn, Sin, and Qaf. What is Ayn, Sin, Qaf? It says Ayn. Ayn, Sin, and Qaf. Yes? After Nun Sakin, Sin comes. If after Nun Sakin, any of the 15 letters come, what do you do? Ikhfa, yes. If after Nun Sakin, or Tanween, if any of the 15 letters come, you do Ikhfa. That's why you do Ikhfa. Ayn, Si. Again, after Nun, Qaf has come. And Qaf is one of the 15 letters, again you do Ikhfa here. So, Ayn, Si. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes? So I'll say it one more time, repeat afterwards. I see Qaf.
I see Qaf.
Again with Ayn and Saad. If I was to write Ayn and Saad, after Nun Sakin, Saad has come. And Saad is one of the 15 letters. Hence, Ikhfa will be done. So again, Kaf Ha Ya Saad. Properly. Kaf Ha Ya Ayn Saad.
Kaf Ha Ya Ayn Saad.
And normally you're supposed to do it all in one breath. You're not supposed to break it up. It's all one word. Okay? So, you don't, when you do recite, you don't like ka, ahay, no, nothing like that. If you need to practice and make your breath a bit more longer, those who like play football, play a bit more football, a bit more. That's an excuse to play football a bit more. Running around a bit more, jumping up and down, know, whichever. Maddul Arid. This is the fourth one. Remember, we said that Madd Far'i are of four types. Madd Muttasil, Madd Munfasil, Madd Lazim. Madd Lazim has also four types. And then you have Madd Ariz. This is Madd Ariz. Madd Ariz. Ariz means something which has just appeared. Which is something which has appeared temporarily. Okay? Here they call it abrupt stop. You know, that's kind of a different meaning. It's like something's accidents. But it doesn't mean that. What it means here, normally Ariz means a temporary stop. Hey? Temporary stop. If after any huruf al-mad, there appears a sakin, which is caused by a waqf. Which is caused by waqf. The reason why they said that, because in kilmi mukhaffaf and harf mukhaff, you have sukun there, don't you?
Yeah.
But that sukun is not because of waqf. That sukun is part of the word. Al-ana. Remember we did one? Al-ana, there's sukun there. That sukun is not because of waqf, is it? It's part of the word. And you got in qaf, qaf, the fa's got sukun. That sukun is not because you're stopping it, but it's the nature of that word that which has a sukun in it. So this is a sukun which is caused by a waqf. Then such a mad is known as maddul arid. The length of recitation of maddul arid will be tawassut intermediate. Again, it said tawassut, but you can do tool. And you can do tawassut and qasr. You can do all three. You can do all three. Now, in the first one, they've put a ta, which is a sign of waqf. But also, although that is a madd al-arid, because after huruf al-mad, there is a sukoon, but it's a mixture of both, because that is also madde muttasil. What is it? Why is the mad muttasil? Can anyone explain to me?
Because there's a hamza in the at the end of the same word.
In the same word. Awliya is the plural of wali. Plural of?
Wali.
What does wali mean?
Friend.
You guys are all awliya, you should know your names. So, an awliya means plural, means many friends. Okay? So, that hamza belongs to that word. Belongs to the word of awliya. So, after huruf al-mad, if hamza comes in the same word, then that mad is called mad muttasil. Here, you're not allowed to do qasr. You're not allowed to do qasr because we say mad muttasil is also known as mad wajib. Mad
wajib
means you've got to do mad. So you've got to do either tawassut or tool. Either tawassut or tool. You cannot do qasr. You cannot do qasr. But in normal mad'aris, you can do all three. For example, if you look at the next one, tad'un.
هَذَا الَّذِي كُنتُم بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ.
That's tool. Now let's do tawassut.
هَذَا الَّذِي كُنتُم بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ.
قصر.
هَذَا الَّذِي كُنتُم بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ.
So you can do all three. Right? Because if after waw, if after حروف المد, if there's a sukoon due to waqf, then that is called madda ariz. Hence, you can do all three. You can do all three. Because the sukoon on the noon is due to the waqf. It's due to the waqf. So, and that is temporary. If you wasn't going to stop, then you can't do more than qasr. You can't do more than? You can't say,
هَذَا الَّذِي كُنتُم بِهِ تَدَّعُونَ مِنَ ال...
You can't do that. You can't lengthen. You have to be تَدَّعُونَ كَرِيمًا. Understand? It's like, Alhamdu.
Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen.
Straight lengthen, isn't it? Before I carry on.
Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim maliki yawmiddin.
Before I stop.
Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Before I carry on. And we'll not stop there. The normal dar is.
Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim maliki yawmiddin.
I didn't lengthen, did I? This Rahimi, which is qasr, which is nature of that, of the huruf mad, that much you could. You can't say
Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim
Rahim, you didn't do the mad, you didn't do mad qasr at all. It's totally omitted. Then no, that's haram. That is totally haram. Like I said before. So that's important.